T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's get into it. Just a couple minutes away from a former 49ers All-Pro guard Alex Boone joining us to talk 49ers Rams coming up on Sunday night. This segment presented by Golden State, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. Before we get to Alex, got to get you caught up on everything you need to know that's going on in the world of sports right now. We call it our two-minute drill.
Listen up, you maggots! We ain't got time for any lollygagging or screwing around. This is the two-minute drill, where Privates Hill, Shasky, and Scott give you the essential, need-to-know intel from the world of sports. Now then, Privates, get to it!
All right, guys, let's get to it. Hoops news. Ty Lue, the new head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers, they signed him to a five-year deal, while former Kings head coach Dave Yeager joining Doc Rivers in Philadelphia. What you got, Bonte?
Yeah, I don't like that move for the Clippers. Dusty boys, Kate. They're not done yet in the American League Championship Series. Carlos Correa walks it off in the bottom of the ninth inning. Game six today, Shasky. Tampa leads 3-2, but I got a feeling the Astros are going to make history. What you got for me, Butcher Boy?
If you're just waking up, if you're on your way out of town, maybe you're going to work on a beautiful Friday, beat L.A. The Dodgers lose. Kershaw chokes. Braves are up 3-1. Oh, my God. Let's go. Kate, take it on out.
Let's go. Well, as Bonte feared yesterday here on the Morning Roast, Le'Veon Bell is now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't look now. One-year deal. Because why, Bonte? Like you said, he wants to win a Super Bowl. Damn it.
I got a headache right now. Look, a day after the Falcons shut down their facility because of a number of COVID tests, the Colts have followed suit this morning. Their game against the Bengals is now up in the air. Shasky, what you got for me here?
49er news. Jimmy Garoppolo, my guy, DJ Jones, Emmanuel Mosley, all full goes at practice on Thursday. Woo. Running back Jeff Wilson Jr. joined Quan Alexander, Marcel Harris, and Dante Johnson on the they did not participate list. Mm-hmm. 49ers, Jimmy G, full go. Some of these other guys, not so.
Let's go. And that does it for the two-minute drill. Got it in, scored the touchdown before the whistle, boys. Way to go.
30 seconds left on the clock.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Two-minute drill.
Now, that is the question. Did we leave too much time on the clock, you guys?
I trust that Eric Wright's going to make the tackle and that Danny okay. White is going to have a fumble here.
Okay.
So I'm good, Guru.
Can we get the whistle?
There we go.
Great job, y'all. Yeah, COVID, it's going to be interesting to see what games get pushed this weekend and if we will eventually maybe get a whole week off from the NFL. I sure hope not, and hope everybody is safe. But, man, it keeps happening. So let's head out and pick up with Alex Boone, because we have been talking about the 49ers offensive line and their struggles for the past couple of weeks. So we figured no one better to have on the Morning Roast just a couple of days before the 49ers give it another go against the Rams than a guy who knows a hell of a lot more about playing offensive line than we do. So let's talk some 49ers football with former 49ers All-Pro guard Alex Boone. Alex joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Alex, thanks so much for joining the Morning Roast this morning with Bonte Hill, Joe Shasky, and Kate Scott. It has been too long. How are you, Alex? Where are you? What's going on this Friday morning, man?
It's going great. I'm in Minnesota right now, so it's definitely cold. I don't know how you guys are doing, but other than that, I mean, everything's great. We're playing football. Now some teams are playing better than others, and others need to pick it up. But for the most part, what's there to complain about?
I'm right there with you. And as far as cold is concerned, Alex, you know, come on. It's October in San Francisco. I'm in a T-shirt. I could have worn shorts this morning, but I came in at 4 a.m., so I was like, I should probably wear the pants. But we're thinking about you, man. Okay, well, let's get right into the meaty stuff. There's been a lot of criticism about the 49ers offensive line the past couple of weeks. And as I said, as somebody who knows the position well better than the three of us do, what has been your critique of the 49ers O-line the past couple of weeks?
You know, I think some of it falls on communication, and I think that's the number one thing, and that's where it has to start. You see plays where there's mental errors and guys are kind of looking at each other like, hey, I thought you were supposed to be there. Where were you? You can see this look all the time on everybody, right? And sometimes you do it because you don't want to look stupid on TV, but sometimes you genuinely do it. And you can tell when guys are genuinely mad at each other because they're thinking, hey, listen, I thought we were going to do this. Now you're doing this. What's going on? That's just a level of communication. And I think that when you look at these teams right now, the teams that are succeeding without a preseason, without OTAs, without all that off-season training, are basically succeeding on the communication. They're not afraid to say what's going on. They're all on the same page. And sometimes, as corny as it sounds, it's kind of like playing high school ball. Everyone's kind of barking out things where normally a gamer's more quiet. But you don't have that because, number one, you have a new offensive line. You have new guys in there, guys filling in roles. Trent Williams came in. Brunskill came in. You got Ben Garland in the middle right now. There's so many different guys, and especially when you include different people into the group, you have to be more communicative. You have to be out there with each other. You have to make sure everybody knows what you're doing because you're seeing it on film. And the other thing is, you got to line up and play ball. At the end of the day, you're going to be put into positions that sometimes you have to take risks, and you have to go out, and you have to be a big boy. And I remember people told me, if you want to make a name, it's going to be on somebody else's back. Somebody else you're going to have to play is going to come out here, and you're going to kick their hind end, and that's how it's going to go. You don't see a lot of that right now. You kind of see guys not knowing what's going on, playing more passive. And to me, that's not 49er football.
No, it's not, Alex. And you know what? Aaron Donald's coming to town, number 99. And you know what? How do you block this guy, Alex? How do you block this guy when you have a struggling offensive line that's given up 23 quarterback hits over the last 2 weeks and 10 sacks? I mean, where should my confidence level be when I see number 99 on the other side of the line of scrimmage?
I'll tell you what, Aaron Donald's having one hell of a year right now, and I think that what he's doing is more terrorizing people through the media than he is on the field, because in the media he's talking about how frustrated he is. But the truth is, you have to keep him frustrated. He doesn't want to be double-teamed, and I knew coaches when I played that were like, oh, we're not going to double him. He's the guy you double the whole game. I don't care. I remember when we played him, they used to bring the blitz from opposite of Aaron every single time, so they made you pick your poison. Are you going to let Aaron go one-on-one, or are you going to let our safety or outside linebacker come off the edge on the other side? And those are choices you have to make. But when you're watching Aaron Donald play football, he is an extremely rare player. He is incredible. He's always hyped up. He's always turned up. He never looks it. And that's the one thing when you're watching him play, people that double-team him, they're successful against him. And then all of a sudden something happens and they say, oh, we got to make an adjustment. No. The adjustment is you block 99. You need to handle him this week for this game. He is the heartbeat of this team. Do not let him get started.
I'm ready to run right through a brick wall. This feels like the NFC playoff game all over again, Bonte, with Alex Boone getting me all fired up. I'm going to ask about Rams week a little later, but let's get right into McGlinchey because, you know, Alex, you're a savvy guy. You're trying to get into the media, and you're great at like kind of understanding the plight of the player in the modern era specifically. Mike McGlinchey addressing the Twitter haters. Like, I'm a little worried for Mike, to be honest with you. I guess my question is, what do you do with Mike McGlinchey? McGlinchey right now basically acknowledging that the noise is kind of getting to him.
I think you'd let him, I think you tell him to relax. And what I say by that, I mean, you got to go to him and kind of say, hey, listen, man, don't worry about all that nonsense. And I would physically do this as a player, like, hey, listen, enough of that. Like, those people don't matter. And I think that one of the messages that the 49ers always used to have, and it was a great message, was it's us versus them. And once you let them get into your mind, the game is over. And Mike is pivotal for this offense. They need him to be tough. And at times he takes risks. Is he always right? No, but that's football. And I can respect that in a player. I don't want the same old robot out there every play. I don't want the guy that's going to go out there and do it exactly right this time, because then all of a sudden it's going to come become a problem somewhere later. He takes risks, and sometimes he's not rewarded. But I also think that not having Joe there, I think Joe was a big pillar for him. I think when you're looking at this team, I think that not having Joe Staley out there right now is kind of showing. Joe was one of those guys that had the respect of everybody. Mm-hmm. And when I say everybody, I even mean the Yorks. And that's important because people will always look to you for that, and you're the pillar that everybody needs, and all of a sudden you're gone one day, and there's no offseason, and nobody really has a chance to take that role of stepping up and being the guy that everyone can count on. And I think that Mike is kind of being put in a position where you're kind of like, is it you? Are you the guy that has to stand up, or is it going to be Trent? Who's the guy that's going to come out here? You don't have Weston right now, which is a huge loss because he's the kind of guy that sets the tempo. Weston's your guy that goes out there and says, this is the attitude of the game. Me hitting you in the face 65 times, and if you stand around this pile, I'll make you even more sorry. That's what you love about Weston. But with Mike, it's kind of like, hey, listen, we need you to be the guy to step up. You need to start mauling people. You need Daniel to come along with you. We need you to be a leader. And I think that with the offense being in flux as they are and not having Joe there and no offseason, it's kind of a formula for a bad recipe.
Oh, man. Talk about getting us fired up. We knew we were going to be having fun with Alex Boone, but only had him on for a couple of minutes, and I'm already ready, as Joe said, to run through a wall. Alex Boone with us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line here on the Morning Roast. I'm so glad you brought up Joe Staley and Trent and Mike, Alex, because we were talking about this yesterday and how it's got to be difficult, right? McGlinchey is expected to be the next guy to kind of take over for Joe. But now here comes Trent, this incredible tackle with an incredible resume, but he's new to the 49ers. So I don't know if you had any experience with that when you were playing with the 49ers or on one of the other teams you played for, but what is that struggle like when you've got a couple of guys who both are kind of look to be leaders? How does that go down, and how do you finally figure it out?
I mean, I think it just happens naturally. It's one of those things that has to happen organically. I think the more people try to pretend to be phony, and we're the biggest, we'll catch you quickly. We know when you're faking it because we see you play football. The film does not lie to us, and we see you in practice. And if you're working hard and you're out there taking these hits and you're not complaining, you're not doing all this, you naturally become a leader. People want to be around you, right? Nobody wants to be around someone negative and all that. I think once you let the outside world infiltrate you and you become kind of negative-minded, people start to worry about you. And I think that's why people are like, hey, listen, you need to stay off Twitter. Don't worry about those guys. But more importantly, you need to start coming together as an offense. I think the offense is kind of sputtering at times, and people obviously coming off this last game, people have a lot to say. Don't let that affect you. Nobody in the outside world should ever let a team get dismantled, ever. And that's the biggest culprit. If you ever look at these teams that were great and you say, hey, what happened to them? Somebody started to listen to somebody that had no business talking to them. They weren't listening to their teammates. They weren't listening to the coaches. They weren't staying in-house. They were going outside for some problem that they thought they had when they really didn't. They need to band together and start running the ball and putting their foot through people's faces like they did last year.
I love it, Alex. You know what, Alex? Shasky mentioned how you talked to us before the NFC Championship game. And I remember you telling us about Joe Staley when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded to San Francisco. And Joe Staley said, you know, I'm going to stick around and play because this guy's a natural born leader. This guy can throw the rock. He's a leader at the quarterback position. Now think about what's transpired since the NFC Championship. The Super Bowl loss, week one against Arizona. Last week he gets yanked at halftime for C.J. Beathard, where Shanahan quote-unquote says he's protecting him. Has your perception changed on who Jimmy Garoppolo is as a quarterback? And do you still believe, Alex, that Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback for this team moving forward?
Dude, I'm not a Fairweather fan. You know that. I love Jimmy. I love what he brings to the table. I love his mindset. I love the fact that he can always be a positive person in a negative situation. I think people right now are overreacting, and they're worried and they're upset, as they should be. I mean, look at the state of the world right now, and then you throw 49ers football on top of it. It's like, wait a minute. They went to the Super Bowl last year, and now all of a sudden we're having problems. What is it? Look at the injuries on this team. Look at the guys that are down right now. And I know I never make excuses ever because that's not an excuse. If you're expected to step up, that's your job. This is the NFL. This isn't college. This isn't Pee Wee. You're expected to show up and do your job. And that's one of the things that I heard George Kittle talking about this week was we need to start holding more people accountable. Listen, just because you're a backup doesn't mean you're allowed to go out there and play like a backup. It means when you get out there and you don the red and gold, you need to go out and play like a starter. And you need to show people what's going on. And at times, defenses are having answers for this offense. Hey, listen, we're going to close the middle of the field. We're going to take away all the things they like, and we're going to force them to run it and force them to throw it outside the numbers. Then go out and do it. Whoever you are, Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, whatever it is, you have to go out and compete and play. And that's how you get the respect from your teammates. That's how you start winning games. You have to go out and create long drives. You have to go out and make a play. That's everything that they did last year. And now all of a sudden, it seems like this year is such a problem because guys are down. You guys are expected to step up. At times, the offense is sputtering. The defense has to blitz more. They don't get enough rush. I mean, there's so many things that are happening that all of a sudden you say, hey, listen, let's calm down. Look what we did last year. Look at the ride we went on. We are still that team. We can still do this. We need to go out and put the pedal to the metal and go.
Alex, I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. Look, I know you played for one of my favorite players of all time, who's from that golden era, Tom Raftman. I mean, you were on the side of the ball with him all the time. I'm sure he told you what Ram Week meant to him. And I know you played during different rivalries, different eras. It was in St. Louis. It wasn't exactly the same. But get these fan base fired up. What does Ram Week mean to these guys? What does it mean to you?
I mean, it means everything. I remember we used to go there in St. Louis in that stadium. I hated it because it was so dark, but it was so bright at the same time. It was the weirdest place. But they would be so fired up for us. And we always hated Seattle. Like, our biggest gripe was with Seattle. We'd always play that stuff. But for whatever reason, the Rams hated us. And I don't know what it was. I think it was because we were kind of the stars of the NFC West, and they wanted to be there. And they would come out, and they would punch us as hard as they could. And it was a tough punch because that's when they first started getting Aaron, and they started revamping this whole team. But this team, make no mistake, they look to kill everything. They are out for blood. This is a team right now especially. They feel like they've kind of been wronged in the past. They're coming back. They're starting to get their mojo. Their offense is firing on all cylinders. But that's nothing to worry about because, to me, it's still kind of one of these, hey, listen, who's tougher, me or you? You go out long enough, you contain 99, you slow down their rush, and the game is yours to be had. This game is not, hey, listen, the Rams are coming. They're 4-1. We watched those four games, okay? It wasn't like they were out of control going crazy. Yeah, Washington was, but that's different. For the most part, this game is could be had. You have to go out and believe it and turn it around.
On that note, Alex, this was awesome. Hope you'll join us again. Hope you'll join us again soon because you got us fired up on this Friday morning. And speaking of, you haven't retired yet, right? Can we bring you back for a few more snaps?
We need you, Alex.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody call Prague. I'm in.
Hey, I think your son's going to be ready to be in. I mean, last time I saw him, he was like 8 years old and, I don't know, a foot and a half taller than me. So I'm sure he's ready to be drafted by the 49ers in the coming years.
Quarterback.
Dude, he loves the 49ers so much. When Jimmy got hurt, he almost cried. He was like, Dad, what am I going to do? I was like, dude, he'll be back. Don't worry. I mean, like, he's with me. He's like, Dad, what's the problem with this team? I'm like, let's talk about this.
Bonte almost cried too, so it's all good, Alex. You know, we all grieve in different ways.
Oh, this is great, Alex.
You guys are the best.
Awesome. Alex Boone joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line here on the Morning Roast, getting us fired up on this Friday before Sunday Night Football between the 49ers and the Rams. Damn, guys. Can we have him back? I know it's been a couple years, but he sure got me fired up. And he had a lot of positive things to say, right? He talked about how the preseason did affect him. I'm so glad he brought up the loss of Joe Staley. We are not talking about that enough when it comes to the communication between the guys on the offensive line. And it, like he said, like we were talking about in the 6 o'clock hour, all it takes is one win, right? That's why I think this is a must win on Sunday night. All it takes is one. You're 3-3. You can say you're 0-0 as you head into the second half of the season. And just get right. Get your quarterback healthy. Your skill players on offense are getting healthy. Start to find their rhythm on Sunday. I do not care if it's a pretty win. It can be 17-15. It can be the weirdest, ugliest football game ever. There's not fans there. Who cares? Just beat the Rams on Sunday night and start the season over.
Well, and I know that Bonte keeps thinking, oh, the fans, which is fair. It's totally fair. Hey, the fans believe Seattle's the bigger rival and whatnot. But the whole reason the Seattle thing became a rivalry, yes, the two teams were good, but Harbaugh versus Pete Carroll was already a thing. And I think the McVay-Shanahan angle, to me, is why this is becoming a great rivalry. These two are always going to be measured against each other. Goff and Jimmy, McVay and Shanahan, NorCal, SoCal. This is why the rivalry is starting to be rekindled again and why I love it. Beat L.A.
You starting to feel it, B? Are you starting to feel it now?
Look, it was starting to ratchet up last year, and it started to ratchet up when Shanahan took over the 49ers and had McVay in L.A. Because the Niners, remember, they interviewed Sean McVay, and the Rams said, oh, no, we need to hire this guy right now before he goes up to Northern California. So you got that dynamic there. My thing is with the Seahawks, and you heard it from Alex Boone, especially during that heyday, but it was before that, when the Seahawks moved back into the NFC West.
Yep.
When they moved back into the NFC West with Mike Holmgren. Don't forget, Mike Holmgren couldn't stand the 49ers because he felt like he should have been a coach with the 49ers and not with Green Bay and not with Seattle. And so that dynamic with Hasselbeck and Sean Alexander, they used to slap the Niners around up there in Seattle. It wasn't even fun. And you talk about the victories up in Seattle. I believe since Seattle's moved back into the NFC West, I could be wrong here. Curly, fact check this. The Niners have won like four times in Seattle. Four. That's not good. Those fans up there, the 12s, they get up for the red and gold. They planted their 12 flag and said, the West is ours. We dominate. And when they come down to the Bay Area, they travel. They travel and they take over Levi Stadium. They do. They did last year on Monday Night Football. They did the year before. I'm telling you, even when Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson goes away, it's going to be DK Metcalf. Because here's this real quick, Kate. Don't forget about DK Metcalf and the Niners meeting at the scouting combine, and the meeting went awry. They didn't get along, and the Niners basically said,
Bonte might be the only person who cares about that. The meeting gone awry. Don't forget, Joe Shasky.
Don't forget.
Kate. The meeting. That is the difference between the Seahawks and the Rams rivalry.
When the 12s come to town, when a SoCal person comes to San Francisco, I can point them out from a mile away. They got a t-shirt on with jeans and flip-flops, and they're down in Fisherman's Wharf, and they're like, why isn't it sunny? What's going on out here? Like, we all hate SoCal people, all right? Like, come on, B, get in line. It's Beat LA for life.
No,
you're over here
LA
talking about
life.
The Lakers and the Dodgers and the playoffs. This is our opportunity to knock off another LA team. Let's go.
888-957-9570, because I'm tired of talking about it. The fan base. Who, 49er fans, who do you hate more right now? The Seattle Seahawks
or the
LA Rams?
It's not about right now. It's about all time. I want multiple generations because
multiple
you're going to have a bunch of young people calling 80 year, in. Who
80
are,
years old, Grandpa Shasky.
I'm 21 years old. I hate the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Rams haven't been good in my lifetime.
70-year-olds, 60-year-olds. We don't discriminate on
the
issue on the morning
the generation.
Post. I want everybody. If you're out there to retirement
prisoner
home,
of the moment.
I want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Who do you hate more? Because I can't stand the damn Seahawks.
Okay.
The Rams are like the little brothers.
I like
We'd
that.
Slap them
you
around
know what?
So
I think this
times.
Is where it's going. Okay, this is where we're going with this. This is what I believe now. It's not that he doesn't hate the Rams. I think he just loves Aaron Donald. See, there was a running joke on the night show that I had an infatuation with Cody Bellinger because I thought he was absolutely awesome, and I picked him to win MVP before he ended up winning the MVP. Mm-hmm. So we had a running joke that I was a Dodger fan. I'm starting to believe now that Bonte's an Aaron Donald fan, and he just won't come out in a minute. And that's okay.
I respect
him. Are you?
So you're saying that maybe the nightmares he was having earlier in the week about Aaron Donald weren't really nightmares?
I just respect great players.
Might have been
all, Kate.
Dreams, yeah.
I respect,
okay.
Like, I don't like Russell Wilson, but I respect him.
I'm right there with you.
We were talking
about Clayton Kershaw earlier. He's one of those athletes that love to hate, but mad respect for the way he's playing the game. He just happens to be on a team that I'm going to despise until he retires. All right, so get in. Who do you hate more? Is it the Seahawks or is it the Los Angeles Rams? And is it a small sample size for you or is it a bigger sample size? Are you older than 21 years old? And so you can have some juice to the LA Rams, San Francisco 49ers rivalry that is coming back on Sunday. And also, is this a must win? Is this a must-win? Joe and I think it is a must-win, whether it be because of the record that they need to get back to 500, because of the psyche, because of the mental side of things that the 49ers need to reset and start building that confidence as they get ready to go across the country to take on New England, then to come back to take on Russell Wilson in Seattle, to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Or is it, well, it might be worthy of a moral victory, but 2-4 isn't that bad. It's still early in the season. I'm making fun of Bonte, but I actually think there is a lot to that. I may disagree, Bonte, but I understand that it is still early in the season. So is this a must win? And who do you hate more? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Is it Anna? Is it Bonte's girlfriend? She's in the next room lighting it up.
Sweet.
Great question, Bonte. That
Don't
is an awesome question.
Don't give
but
her
again,
a text line
I bet
number,
if you, honestly, I bet if we phrase this appropriately, hey, do you hate Russ and Pete Carroll more than you hate the Rams? And everyone's going to go with the Seahawks. So that's what you're saying when you say you hate the Seahawks. Nobody hated, Lofi Tatupu and Sean Alexander. Alexander. I went to those games, B.
No one was there.
There was no one at those games.
Bobby
we hated the Rams because they were arrogant and they took our crown.
No.
That's why we hated them.
Bobby Ingram, look, here's the thing, too, real
Bobby
quick.
Ingram.
There's
Wait,
nobody
Bobby
on the Rams that I've ever feared. I never feared Jim Everett. I never feared Flipper Anderson. I never feared Kevin Green or Jackie Slater.
Well, you should have went to the
Russ.
Greatest show on turf.
I fear Marshawn Lynch. I fear Pete Carroll. I fear Bobby Wagner. I feared Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. I never feared nobody from the L.A. Rams.
Until this week, Vontae. You've been telling us.
But Aaron Donald.
Exactly.
Thank you, Kate.
Until this week.
Until Aaron Donald.
Until this week.
All right, you know what? Let's make the bet. Let's do this. What are we waiting on? No, let's do this. I bet you that the Niners win this week. I'm going to bet you right now. And if they lose, I'll wear an Aaron Donald jersey for an entire show. For an entire show, the next time the Niners play the Rams, the week of.
I like it.
And again, I don't want any spread. I got my faith in my Niners. I put my money on my Niners, San Quinn. I'm telling you right now, Aaron Donald jersey bet right now. Are you in or are you out?
This is an easy bet. Are you kidding me? I would love to see you in an Aaron Donald jersey. Make sure
love
we get the digital department, Whitley, Carl, Kirsten, Matt Ashlock. Get this on Zoom. I need Shasky. Plaster it everywhere. Shasky and Aaron Donald. This is easy money.
We're
not winning this game, Shasky.
Let's make sure we lay this out, Kate. So if the Niners win, again, by the way, if the Niners win, you will never hear the end of this. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're never hearing the end of this. If the Niners win, you are wearing an Aaron Donald jersey for an entire show. If the Niners lose, then I will. Is that a bet?
That's easy money for me.
Let's do this.
Okay,
come on, Niners.
Done. Here's what's coming up on the Morning Roast, brought to you by Bay Alarm, the voice of those L.A. Rams. Bay Area native J.B. Long joining us at 8. And when we come back, we are taking your calls. We're getting into this. Is it Seahawks or is it Rams? Who do you hate more? And is Sunday night a must win? Because it sure damn feels like it. When it comes to looking out for your business, Bay Alarm brings the best, like a networked video surveillance system that lets you view your security cameras from anywhere. Because if your security's not the best, you're not secure now more than ever. Bay Alarm. 888-957-9570 is the number. Get in on the conversation. Joe, Bonte, and Kate, it is the brand new Morning Roast right here on 95.7 The Game.
In the place to be. Oh, yeah.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
It's getting heated on a Friday morning. Rams Niners Sunday night under the lights down at Levi's Stadium, and my boys are making bets. Somebody's going to be wearing an Aaron Donald jersey. The good question from the texters, and we want to hear from all of you. We're talking, is Sunday night a must win for the San Francisco 49ers? And we're talking, who do you hate more? Is it the Los Angeles Rams or is it the Seattle Seahawks? Bonte is on the Seahawks train. Joe is on the Rams train. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line. It's also our phone number, 888-957-9570. And the texters, guys, ask a very important question that we didn't cover before we went to break. Who is buying the jersey that the other person may
loser.
Have to wear?
Loser.
Okay.
The
yeah.
loser.
Okay.
The loser.
He's going to be out of $100.
Just making sure. Just
I mean, that's fine.
Sure.
I cough up $100 at Starbucks, so that's no problem. I have no problem losing that.
There you
I
go. Really. You got a mortgage to pay. That's a problem.
Let me tell you something. Look at Rams and Niners. Let me just give you a quick educational history. Bonte, I know you know the game. We know you like to Google and go deep on the searches.
See, here you go
so
with
I know
Google.
You know a lot of this.
That will bother
for the young crowd.
Okay, real quick, the Google stuff bothers me because I don't know if you listened to the midday show yesterday. They play a game called Jeopardy, right? And apparently Dan Dibley was legendary. But your boy, the young buck in Bonte Hill, has dominated that game throughout. And these guys don't want to play me at all. They're my lightweights.
He is good at that.
You know, Mr. Google, that's all cute. That's all fun. But go ahead. I digress.
No, you are great. No, I'll be real. You are great at that game. You're very good at that game. I will concede you there. And I know you know your stuff, but there's a lot of young 49er fans out there that live in the moment. Like, look, we hate Russ. We hate Pete Carroll. I get it. The Niners and Rams goes back to 1946. There would be no San Francisco 49ers in the NFL were it not for the LA Rams. They moved from Cleveland, came here when they were absorbed from the AFL into NFL. They needed a geographical rival. So the Niners don't exist without the Rams. From the 50s,
like
60s, and 70s. Exactly.
Yeah.
50s, 60s, and 70s, Rams kicked our butt. The foursome, the fearsome foursome, all the different guys. Deacon Jones dominating the 49ers. We also know JT Snow's dad catching touchdown passes. Norm Van Brocklin throwing the ball down the field. This rivalry was one-sided for 40 years until the 80s. And then the Niners came through. And then you had that whole USC contingent with John Robinson showing up. And Eric Dickerson and Jackie Slater. I couldn't stand them. And they thought they were on par with the Niners. Yes, the Niners drubbed them and kicked their butt. When they went to St. Louis, it went away for a little while. But now they're back and it's beat LA. It's Hatfields and McCoys. It's instant rivalry. Oh, oatmeal style. Just add water. Oh, heat it up. Man. I hate LA. I hate the Rams. Beat them boys this weekend.
Let's go to the phone lines and see what you all think out there. 888-957-9570 is the number. Who do you hate more? Is it the Rams coming on Sunday night, or is it those Seahawks who we're going to face in a couple weeks up in Seattle? Let's head out to the East Bay. San Ramon, Larry, thanks for tuning in to the Morning Roast with Joe and Bonte and Kate. Who are you hating more, Larry, the Rams or Seahawks? Where are you at?
Good morning, y'all. Oh, ain't even close. Roman Gabriel and the L.A. Rams.
There we go.
Let's go. Chalk one up. 1-0.
All right. Why do you hate the Rams so much, Larry?
That was it. Larry was just dropping the mic. He just
gone.
Wanted,
that's it.
Boom.
Because it's generational.
Because it's generational.
Hatred is taught at the kitchen table. Yeah, no, that's where hatred, it's taught.
Look,
all right?
Look, my Uncle Dexter used to feed me dry cereal in the bowl and my little da-da-da-dunts. And you know what da-da-da-dunts are? The little PJs. And I'm walking around with no shirt on, learning the game, learning the world of sports, right? Horse racing, boxing, you name it. A five-tool player over here, Kate. And so when I looked at the Rams.
Bonte.
When I looked at the Rams, and I know the Niners smoked them in the NFC Championship. But look, that team. I never feared the Rams. I'm talking like they stunk in the night. This team won 17 straight against the Rams. Jim Everett was no Joe Montana. Eric Dickerson, he got snuffed out by the Niners. Roger Craig used to take over Anaheim Stadium with the high knees going 100 and 100 against this team. We know my favorite game in that rivalry was John Taylor with the 290-plus yard quick slants and touchdowns on Monday Night Football. You know I love me some John Taylor. Look, the Rams, I never feared them. They were always the wannabes. They're always the perpetrators. Seattle, they came in with a mission. Their mission was, we're going to dominate the NFC West. We're going to revamp our whole entire organization, new uniforms, and we're going to play smash mouth football. And you know what? They hit the Niners in the mouth for so many years and dominated. Whether it was Russ, whether it was Pete Carroll, whether it was Earl Thomas or Richard Sherman, I get you had all those dynamics. But in the 90s, you cannot tell me that Niner fans feared the Cowboys more, the Packers more. The Rams weren't on anybody's radar.
What about the early 2000s? Did those exist? I sat in the end zones. I sat in the stands watching the greatest show on turf come and dismantle the Dennis Erickson Niners, the Mike Nolan Niners. I watched Marshall Faulk be the greatest running back since Roger Craig at catching the ball out of the backfield and running between the tackles. I watched Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt put together damn near, you know, Hall of Fame careers alongside each other. I watched Kurt Warner come into the division and dominate the 49ers. Then Mark
Walsh.
He
was in the end zone, though, Bonte.
He was in the end zone.
Keep going, Joe. Keep going.
Hey, Kate, like I said, the Rams were the free ticket game. Those were the games where family members say, hey,
a lot of people
Bonte,
on the text line are agreeing with you, Bonte. They said the Cardinals games were free ticket games,
too. They're free ticket games. They're free ticket games. Well, you can give those tickets away quick enough.
From the Chilton Auto Body text line, everybody's getting in on the fun. 888-957-9570 is the number. From the 415 here in San Francisco, Seahawks definitely the most hated rival for me. The level of disrespect during the Harbaugh-Carroll rivalry was off the charts. But then 510, Tony coming in. The only time I have ever rooted for Tom Brady was when he played against the Rams in those Super Bowls. So that's Tony from the 510. 408, Niners-Hawks are a much bigger rivalry to me. Most of history, Niners have dominated the Rams with the exception of a few years. And then 209, Seattle might be the 49ers fans' rival, but the 49ers are the Rams fans' rival. And that's an interesting take on it, right? Because
I like that.
Fans have a big play on things.
Yep.
Like, who do you hate more? And oftentimes, it's who you as a fan base hate. So I think you guys are proving something, that the fan base is kind of split right now, depending on how old you are, depending on how much you're paying attention to the history of a rivalry, that there's some folks in Bonte's camp, Joe, and then Bonte, there's some folks in Joe's camp.
Doubt.
I think we all hate everybody when you're a 49ers fan.
He makes valid points. He makes valid points about the West and Merlin Olsen and Deacon Jones, and I get all that. I understand all that. But the Rams, to me, are perpetrators. They always wanted to be like the 49ers. Their Seahawks created their identity and said, we're going to win this way, and we're going to come into this division and dominate. It's not just Pete Carroll. It's also Mike Holmgren and Matt Hasselbeck and Sean Alexander. Nobody they came into Matt the Hasselbeck. NFC West and started dominating. They advanced to a Super Bowl. They used to blow the Niners out up there in Seattle and then come down here. Hell, it was the Seahawks who made Mike Singletary throw Vernon Davis off the damn football field. They had guys left and right. Like, the Rams just were nobodies for so long. So the rivalry, even though you played them twice a year, those were two gimmies. Those are two gimmies.
Yeah, the 408's agreeing with you, Bonte, saying the Rams have been invisible since Eric Dickerson left. But they're coming back, right, Joe? I mean, they're coming back. They were the NFC representative in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I sat in the stands last year for both the Monday Nighter against Seattle, which was a great game, and then Week 16 against the Rams. I didn't hear no beat SEA in the stands. I did hear beat LA, and I felt that vibe. It was palpable. You could taste it in the air. I'm over there like eating it up, literally eating up that Levi's air. It was unbelievable. And then all you see is the LA SoCal dorks walking around in their fresh, brand new Rams jersey because, you know, just like the LA stereotype, they're brand new fans to that team because they didn't follow them. But that's the best part. It only creates the stereotype more. I love it. How can you not love this? It's Seattle, LA.
Seattle fans have been there since the Kingdom.
Oh, they've Seattle been riding with Steve Larkin
and Dave Craig and Kurt Warner. They've been riding with those guys, even with Chuck Knox and Tom Flores, coach of Seattle Seahawks. They've been there
now
rocking with John
Don't
Kitna.
Blow your shoulder out
a little bit.
Stop
Let's
it.
Go down to San Jose. Let's go down to San Jose. Mike from San Jose is weighing in to let us know who he hates more as a 49ers fan here on the Morning Roast. Good morning, Mike. What's going on?
All right, good morning. I'm doing pretty good right now. So if I had to base it on the fan bases itself, the Dallas Cowboys are the most annoying fans, period.
Okay.
Niner fans, we have serious hatred for them.
Mike's
based
going off
on
screen.
That alone.
Okay. What about you? Is that your most hated rival, or is it the Seahawks, or is it the Rams? Because we're talking Rams-Seahawks here, Mike, and you've gone a little off script.
Those are absolutely nobodies to me. Their history isn't rich enough. Whatever they're doing now, it's like a baby's first steps. I ain't going to remember that in 10 years. I don't really care about them. Cowboys are the team I hate and will always hate.
All right,
well,
Mike.
It's funny. And the Niners and Cowboys haven't had a rivalry since 1996, 1995. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back years. So that's what I'm saying, well, B.
It goes back a little bit.
Being, it goes back
to the
70s.
Early 2000, T.O. on the star.
Come on. Okay. I'll grant you that. No, I will grant you that. No question. But again, that's what makes the great rivalries great. It's generational deep. Like, this is Hatfields and McCoys, the beat LA. Yes, I agree. When they went to St. Louis, it did lose a lot of its luster. But the fact that they moved back to LA, to me, and the fact that you got McVay and Goff, the kid from Marin Catholic who wears number 16 because of Joe Montana, that doesn't resonate in the belly.
No, not like Seattle. Not like Seattle. And I tell you why. Here's the other thing, Kate. We did a Periscope, Shasky and I. You got to check this out. Grandpa Shasky's in the back. I remember right after that Monday night game when the Niners lost. Look, there's fear in the air. It's like the Seahawks are the boogeyman, right? You go to bed, you put the covers over your face.
It's Russ.
You're nervous. It's like Halloween all over again. The Seahawks strike fear in the 49ers and its fan base. The Rams don't do that. The Rams are the little cute little football team with the blonde hair quarterback or whatnot. After that game, Shasky looked at me and said, oh, man, it's going to come down in Week 17 in Seattle. He wasn't thinking about the Rams. He never thinks about the Rams. Nobody thinks about the Rams until you play the Rams. We think about Seattle every single week. When you scoreboard watch, you're looking to see what Russ is doing. When you scoreboard watch, you're not looking to see what Jared Goff is doing. Nobody cares about the Rams. They're the little stepchild. They're the little brother, Kate. Come on, you know this, Kate. The Rams are nobodies.
He's begging you to jump in there and help him.
I know,
but
he
no, this would not be Kate's a rival. Tavarius Jackson was quarterbacking the Seahawks, would Bonte be like, oh my God, the Seahawks, Tavarius Jackson. I mean, Jesus criminy, Tavarius Jackson, look out for the Seahawks. It's strictly Russ and Pete. That's it. That's it. There is no other hate. We actually liked Money Lynch. We all loved Marshawn Lynch. Who didn't like Marshawn Lynch?
Did you like Golden Tate?
No, but because he's a Golden Domer. That's another one. That's because he's a Golden Domer. I actually like him now.
Did you like Richard Sherman up there? You
I hated love him now.
When he was in Seattle.
Love him
you
now because he's Cam a Chancellor. Tiger.
Cam Chancellor. You hated him.
Maybe we just like need a little history lesson for folks like who missed him yesterday. We had the great Carmen Policy on to talk about Fred Warner. Fred Dean, rest in peace. But we also asked him about Rams-Niners week. Because of what we're talking about right now, has it lost its luster? Where is it when it comes to rivals for the 49ers? And here's what Carmen had to say.
Oh, I think Rams week is USC at its worst. You know, it's you know, the spoiled brats, and they're coming up from L.A. And it used to be so much fun playing the Rams and beating them every week. We loved it. And by the way, that was a game the wives would insist on going to, obviously because of L.A. and so forth and so on, and the shopping and all the fun. But it was always fun. And the most fun was when the games were a little close and you sensed that those darn Rams really thought they might win. And then what you do is you take a big screwdriver and scrape it through the Ferrari paint of their car. You know, it was a ball. Lately, I don't get that same feeling. And I have to be honest with you, I'm so shocked at what's happening to us this season. I honestly, and I know I'm being a little bit of a cheerleader here, but I was honestly of the opinion this team might be better than the team of last year, especially after getting the tackle from Washington. I thought the line was going to get better, and I'm stunned. I'm just stunned at what I'm watching, and I don't even know what to say or what to suggest or what to even opine on as far as what's going on.
Well, now's the time to get it back, boys. Now is the time to get it back. And I know he started off hot, ended on a little bit of a low note, but you know who got me fired up yesterday afternoon after we heard from Carmen Policy on the Morning Roast?
Who?
George Kittle. George Kittle.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys hear Kittle in the afternoon yesterday?
No, let's hear it.
Because he was great. And there's a number of great things. He gets into leadership and how they're missing Joe Staley and how he's trying to become a leader. He says so many great things. So let's get into, if you missed Kittle, and the honesty. This is what you wanted yesterday, right, Joe? Accountability. You didn't like some of the things that Mike McGlinchey said. And we said we need some accountability from this team moving forward. And he had all of that. So let's start with cut number two. If we have that back there, guys, when George was asked if he feels that he needs to be more vocal now because, as we discussed, so many leaders, Joe Staley gone, Richard Sherman out right now, if George feels like he needs to step up more because of that.
It's a good question. I'd say yes and no. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still learning how to be a captain. You know, when you're blessed with have a guy like Joe Staley and Richard Sherman kind of at the mantle for the last couple of years, you know, guys that have seen the ups and downs of an NFL season, they've been on every kind of team, you know, winners and, you know, losers. They can kind of see how locker rooms work and, you know, communication with coaches and relationships. And so Staley is a guy that I lean on heavily still, and I'm trying to learn from Staley. I ask him questions about things that are going on. He's been incredibly helpful. But, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, I mean, like I said, I'm one of the four offensive captains now and, you know, technically one of the vets that I definitely do need to be a little bit more direct when it comes to guys and holding guys accountable.
He goes on to talk more about Joe Staley. So let's get right into that because he mentioned Joe's helping him lead. So let's get into the next cut, guys, because he went on to talk about more of what Staley's meant to him and learning to be a leader.
One of the things I learned from Staley was my rookie year, I was terrified of Joe Staley. I think I've said that a couple times. Like, he would come in and he'd be kind of a prick sometimes. And, you know, I wouldn't really understand that. And then there are times you'd see him, he'd be like the happiest guy ever. And you're like, well, I mean, like, what's wrong with him? But really, when you think about it, it's the way he holds guys accountable, no matter who you are. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're the QB. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, DeForest Buckner. It doesn't matter if you're Eric Armstead. It doesn't matter if you're George Kittle. Joe would hold you accountable, and he'd make sure you heard his point and what he thought was required of you on a daily basis.
I think we all have those people in our lives, whether it's in a certain profession, whether it's growing up, whatever it is, like, the people that kind of set you right, and they're not there to just blow smoke up you. You know what I mean? And they try to tell you all the criticisms. Sometimes it's your mom. Sometimes it's your grandma, your aunt. Maybe it's a coach or a mentor or somebody, or maybe, you know, you're an apprentice and it's your journeyman. Like, you need that individual to be like, dude, This is the way it needs to be done. You're not doing this properly. Hey, I'm a little worried about you. And there's that one individual in your life that really resonates when they talk. Other people, maybe it sounds like the peanuts when they're in the, you know, the school class and yum, 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 yum. Yeah, exactly, Kate. That's exactly it. But like Joe Staley seems to be that guy where he's kind of like the Yoda figure for a lot of these younger players because of his longevity, because of his credibility, and because of the person that he is. And I think they're really, really missing this, dude.
And you know what? His leadership is so undervalued. And I think that's one thing when he retired, we all missed him, right? He was in the same draft class with Patrick Willis. He was, you know, obviously the Joe Show. He was always outspoken when it came to talking to the media or whatnot. He spoke for the team, spoke for the offense. But I did not realize he would be missed this much with a young football team coming off a Super Bowl loss and all that pressure they have to try to get back to that game and actually try to win it. Joe Staley, I would love for just Joe Staley to just be around the guys. Bring them in, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, just to talk to the guys and get them around Trent Williams. Get them around Mike McGlinchey. Mike McGlinchey really misses Joe Staley because not only did George Kittle, but when McGlinchey was drafted in the first round, Joe Staley put his arm around him immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately. And they were yin and yang, right? You couldn't tell those guys apart after the first month when McGlinchey became a 49er. So they miss him, Kate. They really do.
They do,
man.
Bonte, but as Alex Boone told us just a little while ago, now it's Mike's turn. Yeah. Now it's Mike's turn, and he's figuring it out. And the only way, just like George is, they're figuring out how to be leaders. And we're in that process right now, which can be painful at times. But the good news is, like Fred Warner said yesterday, and George said as well, the locker room, even though they're 2-3, and everybody wants them to be playing better and have a better record, this team is still very much together.
Luckily, at the end of the day, you know, we do have a very accountable team, you know. Like I said, we don't have guys that are trying to jump off the ship, guys that are pointing fingers. You know, we had guys come in today, and I thought we had our best practice of the year today. And, you know, guys were locked in. Our offense was humming. O-line looked good. We had a great run period. So the thing I love about our team is that we're hungry and we just want to play better. And we know that we're not playing at our best. You know, we don't want to be 2-3. And we know that we're not, you know, playing at the level that we want to be playing at. So I think that this week has been really good for us. And, you know, watching the film and trying to get better from it, I think we've definitely taken a step forward.
You know, Kate, all week we've been talking about Jimmy, the offensive line, the defense. We haven't talked about George Kittle once. Yeah. I mean, like really, we haven't talked about George Kittle once. This is their emotional leader. This is the dude they feed off of. When he makes a play and he starts, you know, bobbing his head and going wild and going crazy, the whole team feeds off him. In about exactly 7-8 minutes, we're going to have J.B. Long on from the Rams broadcast, and I can't wait to ask him about who's marking up George Kittle this week. Can they get Jalen Ramsey emotionally rattled? Because that's something that's happened to him in Jacksonville.
Right.
We've seen him lose his edge. We've seen him get tossed out of games. Can George Kittle feed off that energy and get into Jalen Ramsey's head? Because that's, look, as great as Aaron Donald is, and he is spectacular. B, you're so... The appropriate fear you're giving him is spot on. I'll grant you all of that. Jalen Ramsey's so good, too. And they brought him in here to not only talk smack, but to dominate guys like George Kittle and to follow him all around the field.
No doubt.
The matchup between those two early on in this game, I feel like, is something we haven't even brought up once.
No, and we didn't bring up the fact that Jalen Ramsey called Jimmy Garoppolo a system quarterback a couple years ago when he was the Jacksonville Jaguar.
Thank you.
Jimmy had lit them up, and Jalen Ramsey basically, he just doo-dooed all over Jimmy Garoppolo's performance and said, he ain't good, he ain't nobody, and he picked him off twice last year on Saturday night, so you're right, Shasky. And when you think about last year's game in L.A. when the Niner fans took over the Coliseum, which is why the Rams are another joke. That would never happen in Seattle. Niner fans ain't taking over Seattle like they did L.A. because the L.A. fans are frauds. The Ram fans are frauds. But here's the thing. George Kittle in that football game, I remember the play. You remember the play, Shasky and Kate. He catches the ball, and Marcus Peters and company made a business decision. They did not want to tackle George Kittle. And 100%. He got up, and he started head-bobbing, and he started talking that talk. And that's what I need from George Kittle on Sunday. I don't care if he's not getting the ball. I need to see the physicality in the run game from George Kittle. Maul people. Put people on their back.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Get
after it. Okay.
Let's go.
Couple more from Kittle on how much better the timing and chemistry of the offense can get from just another week of practice. Now that 2 weeks in a row, the big guys like Kittle and Mostert and company are back and healthy.
I think the biggest thing that I've seen is just like the guys we have in the locker room, you know, and our coaching staff. I believe in our coaching staff. I think Coach Shanahan is incredible what he does. He game plans so well, and he puts guys in positions to succeed. And then in the locker room, you have a group of guys that want to get better every single day. You don't have guys that are jumping off the ship. You don't have guys that are pointing the finger at each other. And you also have guys that we do hold each other accountable. Like, you have conversations like, hey, why do we suck? Or why did we suck on this play? And we talk about it and we figure it out. You know, you don't have guys saying, oh, that was your fault. That wasn't my fault. And so we're all heading in the right direction. We're going in the same direction. And I know we haven't played our best football the last 2 weeks. But we, like I said, we did take a huge step forward this week, I believe. You know, when you got young guys, a wide receiver, you know, we're relying heavily on Debo and Brandon. And they're just going to get better every single week they get to play football. And when I see those guys go out there and they make those plays and they have the confidence in themselves, it makes me excited. And they're a big reason why I think we can turn this thing around and win some football games.
Kate, so refreshing to hear someone actually look in the mirror and say the words, we suck.
Right?
Like, he said it. He just came out and said, no, but it is. Like, I was kind of getting tired of hearing everybody like, oh, you know, I've actually been playing good. You know, these people on the internet, they don't know what they're talking about. Like, this is why I love George Kittle. And I look at him as one of these dudes. He's a gladiator. He could have played in any era. You know, we've been talking about the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. George Kittle would have balled out in any era, right, B?
Yep, he's a throwback. He's a throwback. He's a guy you want on your football team day in and day out. It's why he's a top 10 player voted by the players. They respect the hell out of George Kittle because not only we talk about tone setters, right? And the Niners just early in these football games so far in 2020, they just haven't set the tone like they did last season. Like, it was either Kittle, Buckner, Bosa, Armstead, where you just had a guy earlier in the game to set the tone and let the other team know it's not going to be one of them days. It's going to be a rough ride for you, buddy. Buckle up. And that's what I need this Sunday night in front of the nation. Everybody's watching this game, and everybody's ready to just come in on the 49ers and say, you know what? 2019 was a fluke. This team, they're fraudulent. They paid Kittle. They paid all these guys. They're a joke. I need them to set the tone, and it starts with number 85. And Shanahan has to get on them and just get the ball to Kittle. No tight end screens, drags, just get the ball in his hands. Because we saw it in the Eagles game, Kate, where he got the ball in his hands, and the guy turned it into a fullback, and he started trucking fools. And that's what I need him. I need him to truck Jalen Ramsey with a whoop hit early in this football game. I'm serious,
Let's Kate. Go, B. Let's go. Get after it. No, it's exactly what we were talking about in the first hour today, about who on defense is going to make that big play. Who on offense is going to make that big play, too? Because the 49ers, Joe, haven't had that huge play that gets the entire team fired up yet this year, in my opinion.
Well, and that's where I'm looking at Raheem Mostert. I mean, he almost broke a couple in the game last week, even though it got out of hand with them. He needs 15 to 20 touches. I mean, he just has to have it. He has to have it. You got to play ball control this week. But Monte's talking about putting up points. I agree. You got to put up points. But for me, time of possession is massive. When this team is good, they're having time of possession, especially when their depleted defense is playing a bunch of guys that we've never even heard of out there. Keep the Rams off the field. Run the ball. Stay on schedule That's with the down and distance, which has been massive for them. Mm-hmm. Third and long has been third and punt. Like, that's basically what it's been this year.
Yeah.
No, I mean it. And then
you're right.
The area that we never talk about, which has been a bugaboo for the Niners this year, and it's really cost them, is special teams. They can ill afford to fall down because of special teams. You talked about Kevin White, Vontae. I don't know what he was thinking. That was so dumb, running out of the end zone the other day. But the block punt week one, it's still hurting them to this day. Like, think of how different this season goes if they just don't get that block punt week one against the Cardinals. So I'm looking at special teams, and I'm looking at a team that needs to play buttoned up, and that starts with the leadership, the Trent Williams, the Eric Armsteads, the George Kittles.
And Kate, real quick, last week they're trying to get back in the football game in Miami. Everybody in the building knew it was coming. They just read a fake punt like it was nothing, Kate. Nothing.
Let's give a little legal ID here, guys. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1. San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Now I give it over to KT Scott.
You know Ray Rattles, Jasky.
I know. Ray wishes he was
I love that this has become Butcher's thing, Vontae. Like, he gets so excited about this. He's, like, waving at us on the video call.
Guys,
it's time. Okay, here we go. And then he goes into, like, his knucklehead radio voice from college radio freshman year. I love it. Okay, somebody who has a much better voice than the one we just heard from our Joe Shasky, who Joe and I have known forever. He's got city ties up here in the Bay Area now. He's the voice of those hated Los Angeles Rams. Let's say good morning to the voice of the L.A. Rams, J.B. Long, who's joining us today on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. J.B., welcome to the morning roast with Joe and Bonte and Kate. It's been too long, J.B. How's your Friday morning going so far?
Well, thank you for making it, Kate. And I hear the new Kate Scott show is taking the Bay Area by storm. All my friends and family up north listen regularly, so I had to get in as soon as possible. And thankfully, the NFL schedule was accommodating.
We are very happy about that, JB. And the big question is Aaron Donald going to sack Jimmy Garoppolo or whoever is the 49ers quarterback 6 or 7 or 8 times? Because my partner, Bonte, has been terrified. He's been having nightmares about Aaron Donald all week.
Can't sleep, JB. Can't sleep.
Well, that 2018 performance at Levi's was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in sport.
Agreed.
Just truly remarkable. And the fact that he replicated it, again, in similar fashion in D.C. last week, you know, that's something that's good to see, as I never expected to see again. Forced performance is one thing, but the strip, the fumble that he created against San Francisco a couple years back still takes the cake for me. And then I would also say that, you know, the Washington football team is in disarray, and I think the circumstances both offensively for that team and the weather with the rain pouring just kind of made a perfect storm, no pun intended, for Donald and that Rams defense. But I'm super excited now that they've swept the NFC East to see if they're ready to go in the West. And, I still believe the 2019 49ers are represented in this group. We'll see if that's true on Sunday night.
Yeah, we can't wait, JB. And I hear you're a Bellarmine guy and you used to slap around Joe Shasky and the Rearing Crusaders all the time in the WCAL. You guys were no AAA in the city, but I give you credit for down there being a Bellarmine Bell, JB. But I'm looking at Jared Goff, who played in the Marin Catholic, at Marin County Athletic League for Marin Catholic. And this NorCal guy, in Jared Goff, what is he doing different so far? Because he looks polished. Last, I thought his footwork was a little off. He was a little goofy in the pocket. This year, he looks buttoned up in that offense under Sean McVay.
You're just going to not mention that he went to the Bay Area's premier academic institution at university and hang Kate out to dry.
Thank
like
you,
that?
JB.
Yeah,
Thank
we like
you.
Stanford up here.
Mark that tape. He's on my side.
Happy birthday to Jared Goff. Hard to believe he's only 26 years old earlier this week. He's playing really well. And, look, there's a reason he wears number 16. We don't need to hide that. He's always played well in the Bay Area. And I think, for so long we kind of fought this system label for Jared Goff as a quarterback. I've done a total 180 on that. I mean, the offense that Sean has built around him and the way they're operating it right now, I think, makes total sense. And it's most reminiscent to me of the golden era of the 49ers and the way that Montana and Young used to do it up there. I mean, it's quintessential West Coast. And Jared's ability, being a tall, durable pocket passer who can also use his mobility to get out on the perimeter and throw accurately on the run, I think has really allowed McVay to marry his run and pass game concepts in a way that really only Kyle Shanahan also does across the National Football League. And so I think, you know, whether or not Jared is a top 5, top 10 quarterback in this era of golden quarterback play, I'm not sure. But as long as he and Sean continue to partner together, I think they're going to get top 5 results.
Yeah, we're going to ask you about McVay and Shanahan in a minute. But you're obviously a local kid. We've talked about it. And obviously Jared is as well. McVay's got ties to this area. We're watching the Dodgers last night. We're rooting against them up here in Northern California. And we know that the rivalry hasn't been the same for the Rams and the Niners when they went to St. Louis and now they've come back. Where do you think it's at right now? Because you're a guy that has an understanding of the history of what it used to be.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.